Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. On another day, we get to praise God for His grace. Now, as we do so today, we are not as comfortable as we were before as we wear masks. And understand that at the same time, what a great opportunity for us that God has given where we can sacrifice our own comfort of mind, heart, and body for the sake of someone else. So we praise Him for that opportunity. I will be leading the worship behind the altar just as in the last few weeks, so therefore I won't be wearing a mask. For the worship today, we will be celebrating a very important thing. Today we celebrate the confirmands of St. Mark's for 2020. And today what we're really celebrating is Christ and His work and what He's done for them through His Word. And so today we're going to really reflect on that Word and what it's done as they've laid the foundation for the rest of their lives. And now they get to continue to build on that. So we'll celebrate that throughout the worship today. One promise in the Word that we get is the beautiful blessings that we receive in the Lord's Supper. So we'll be celebrating that, as you can see today as well, and more on the instructions for that later on. But if you are a member of St. Mark's or of a church within our fellowship, please come forward at that time for communion and please partake with us. Now this is a meal where we celebrate our unity in the faith. So if you are not one with us yet, but you'd like to be in the future, see us after the service. We'd love to talk about how you can partake with us then. Our worship service begins with a very fitting hymn as we ask that God speak to us through His Word. Blessings on your worship today. Continue with the examination of the confirmands, which I will be leading from back here, and they will be answering the questions and proclaiming God's word from up there. But first, a few points before we begin. First of all, this is not an exhaustive list by any means of what the students have learned over the years, and especially the last two. This is simply an overview. This is also their opportunity to confess what they've learned about God from their parents, pastors, and teachers throughout the years. But this is also a good opportunity for all of us to review the basic truths of Scripture. So I pray that this is a good refreshment for you in God's Word and the truth that is in there of His grace. All right. Now the first thing we're going to cover is a good place to start as we consider God's grace for us. We're going to start at what we know and who we are by nature. So Hannah, why should it be clear to everyone that there is a God?
Conscience and creation.
Yeah, two natural knowledge of God, two aspects. Lizzie, so then if we know that there's a God by nature, why do we still need the Bible?
To show everything that He has done for us.
That's absolutely correct. Emma, what does the Bible reveal that sin does between us and God?
It separates us from Him.
That's right. Jacob, what good news does the Bible reveal to us? Okay, there you go. Is it on? Is it working?
The gospel.
There you go. All right, yeah. See, it's not easy, right? Pastors have to do that too. Braden, how can the words of the Bible be God's word if human writers wrote them?
God guided the words of the human writers through divine inspiration.
Yeah, well done. Jaden, because the Bible is God's word, therefore, what three things does He forbid anyone to do with it?
Change it, add or subtract.
Correct. Now, part of what God gives to us in His word is His law. When we speak of God's law, we're talking about the things He wants us to do and not to do. So, Julia, even outside of Scripture, everyone has God's law. How does God give His moral law to everyone?
He writes it on our hearts.
Right. Now, Hamina, how did God give His law in a second way?
He gave us the Ten Commandments.
Correct. Lizzie, what are the three uses of God's law for us?
Curb, mirror, and guide.
All right. Emma, how does God's law act as a curb?
It threatens punishment and it prevents us from sinning.
Right. Jacob, how does God's law act as a mirror?
It shows our sin.
Yeah. Braden, how does God's law act as a guide?
It guides us to do what is God-pleasing.
Nice. Jaden, as Christians, having God's law is nice because it shows us God's will, and we want to follow that. So why do we want to follow God's law?
Out of thanks for what Jesus has done for us.
Yeah, simply out of thanks. Julia, Jesus is the only one who kept God's law perfectly. Why is it important that Jesus kept the law for us?
As my substitute, He gives me credit for His perfect life.
Yeah, absolutely. Hannah, this is important because we can't keep God's law perfectly. And earn eternal life because of what we sadly are by nature. What is our spiritual condition by nature?
Sinful by nature.
Yeah, sinful by nature. Lizzie, though we are sinful by nature, God has graciously given us new life through faith in the gospel. So now through faith, we have what's called a new self within us. What does the new self do with the old sinful nature within us?
The new self battles with the old self.
Yeah, every day they battle. Emma, to help reveal the old self and its desires and to help guide the new self, God has given us the Ten Commandments, as we said. What one word summarizes all of God's commandments?
Love.
Yeah, love for God and neighbor. Jacob, as those Ten Commandments guide us in godly living, they also reveal our sins and our need for a Savior. Thankfully, God has given us His gospel. So what does God teach us through the gospel?
That Jesus died for our sins and we're forgiven.
Yeah, He died for him, completely forgiven. Braden, therefore God has given us two main messages overall in the Bible. We call them law and gospel. How do we use the law and gospel differently?
The law reveals our sins and our need for a Savior. The gospel comforts us and proclaims forgiveness.
Good, yeah. Jaden, what three statements of faith do we confess that summarize the gospel?
Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed.
Good. Now, in a little bit, you're going to be speaking the Apostles' Creed as a confession of your faith before the congregation. There are three articles to that Apostles' Creed because each article talks about a person of the Trinity. Julia, what do we mean when we say that God is the Trinity or triune?
He is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Good. Hannah, how do we know that God is triune?
The Bible says so, and all three share the characteristics of God.
Good. Lizzie, who does the first article of the Apostles' Creed talk about?
God the Father.
God the Father. Emma, the Apostles' Creed says that the Father is the maker of heaven and earth. How did God show his almighty power when he created the world?
He simply just spoke.
Yeah, simply spoke. Created everything in 6 days, too. Jacob, when God created the world, he created mankind in his own image, it says. What does the Bible mean when it says that God created humans in his own image?
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect and holy. Braden, what was the consequence of the fall into sin on the image of God?
The image of God was lost, and we are in need of a Savior.
Good. Jaden, who does the second article of the Apostles' Creed talk about?
The Son.
The Son, that Savior. Julia, the second article talks about how Jesus is true God and true man. How do we know that Jesus is true God?
The Bible calls him God. He has the characteristics of God and does things only God can do.
Right. Hannah, how do we know that Jesus is true man?
The Bible says so. He shares the characteristics of man and he died.
Yeah. Now, because Jesus is true God and true man, he was exactly the Savior that we all needed. As true man, he was under God's law and was able to die for us. As true God, he was able to live a perfect life, and his precious blood paid for the sins of all people. So, Lizzie, how does that redemption and forgiveness Jesus won for us become our own then?
It becomes our own through us having faith in him.
Yeah, through faith. Now we're going to talk about that faith then and how it's created and who helps us. And to do that, we go to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. Emma, who does the third article of the Apostles' Creed talk about?
God the Father.
No. Not the Father.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, correct, yeah. Jacob, through what does the Holy Spirit call us to faith?
Through the Bible.
Right, through the Word of God. Braden, what ongoing work does the Holy Spirit do after creation?
He strengthens our faith through the Word and sets us apart from our evil behavior.
Yeah. Jaden, why is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit to keep us in the true faith so necessary?
To the constant threat from the devil, our sinful nature, and the world.
Yeah, good job. Julia, sadly, because of the work of those unholy three, you could call them, God in his righteousness and justice, will send some people to hell. What's the difference between those who go to heaven and those who go to hell?
Faith in Jesus' work or not.
Yeah. Hannah, what will happen on Judgment Day then?
God will raise all the dead. He will also come down, and the believers will go to heaven, and the unbelievers will go to hell.
Correct. Until that day, God has given us a great blessing as we live our lives on this earth. It's called prayer. Lizzie, what is prayer?
It's how we speak to God through our hearts.
Nice. Emma, why can Christians be confident that God hears their prayers?
Because we are clothed with this righteousness.
Nice. Jacob, what is a model prayer for Christians?
Lord's Prayer.
Lord's Prayer, right. Listening to our prayers then, and everything else God has done is rooted in his grace, as we know. So let's talk about that. Braden, first of all, what is grace? What is God's grace?
God's undeserved love.
Yeah. Jaden, God has revealed in his word that there are three different ways he brings his grace to human hearts. What do we call that?
The means of grace.
The means of grace. Julia, the means of grace are essentially what?
The gospel.
The gospel. Hannah, one way we receive the gospel is simply by hearing it and understanding it. I think we all know that one. But God in his grace also gives us two other ways that we can receive the forgiveness of sins and the gospel message. What do we call them and what are they? Good. Lizzie, what is baptism?
Baptism is the connection of word and water, which makes your sins forgiven.
Correct. Emma, who does Jesus command us to baptize?
All nations.
Jacob, what is the Lord's Supper then?
The thing where you walk up here and take the bread and wine.
Yeah, and what do you receive with that bread and wine?
The Lord's body and blood.
Good. Braden, how do you know Jesus' body and blood are true?
Because he said in the Bible, "This is my body given for you, and this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for the forgiveness of sin."
Nicely done. Another blessing God gives to us as his church are the keys of the kingdom of heaven, like we talked about. That's all rooted in his grace as well. Jaden, what are the keys of the kingdom of heaven?
They're used to, you can forgive people their sins or choose to not forgive people of their sins.
Yeah, just as Jesus said for all of his church. So Julia, to whom has God given this power and right then?
To all Christians.
Right. Hannah, when would you use what we call the binding key?
You would use that when someone is not repenting of their sins.
Yeah, so we refuse then to forgive their sins, to show them that. Now, Lizzie, when would you use what we call the loosing key?
You would use it after someone repents for their sins.
Yeah, they recognize that sinfulness and need that forgiveness. Emma, what is the goal of these keys always?
To lead people to repentance.
Yeah, recognize the forgiveness they have. Jacob, how are we to receive the announcement of the forgiveness of sins from pastors and other Christians as they use the keys?
As if from God himself.
As if from God himself. Now, God has given all of this information that you have confessed about salvation in the Bible, which all points to Jesus. So then, Braden, why is it important for us to be in God's Word regularly?
It is important to strengthen our faith because the devil, the world, and our sinful nature weakens it.
Yeah, good. Jaden, what different ways can we stay connected to God's Word?
Wait, can you ask that one more time, please?
Yeah, what different ways can we stay connected to God's Word?
Worship, Bible study, and devotion, daily devotion.
Good, daily devotions, that's good. Julia, Jesus has also mission to make disciples of all nations. Therefore, what will we also want to do with God's Word?
Share it with them.
Yeah, we want to share it and make disciples. And God be praised that his confirmands have been able to give you an overview and do just that this morning. They have shared God's Word with you. Thank you very much, confirmands. May God continue to bless you. We'll continue our service today with the hymn of the day, which is a good place to focus on God's Word. God's grace and God's peace are yours, brothers and sisters in Christ, and especially yours, confirmands of St. Mark's for 2020. Amen. The sermon text for today and the Word of God that we're going to take a look at even in depth more comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 29. Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your words. Amen. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. If you were going to build a house, what would you want to build on top of? Bedrock or sand? That's an easy answer, right? You'd obviously want to build on sand. No, see, and I knew I'd catch some people surprised there. I wanted to make sure you're listening. Now, obviously, we want to build on the bedrock. Why? Because eventually the foundation of the house will be shown for what it is. The same goes for your life, your soul, your faith, all of it. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. With these words, Jesus is warning us about a judgment to come. He's not just talking about the tests of faith that we have in this life and the trials. No, he's talking about the impending judgment that comes on either the last day or the day that you die, whichever one comes first. Now, when that judgment comes, is your house going to stand? Confirmands? We all want to say yes, right? About all of us. We all want to just say yes. But we know that there are threats out there. And so did Jesus. Which is why here at the end of his long Sermon on the Mount, he actually gives us a strong and important admonition. All in all, it implores us to stay built on the words of Jesus. Now, the Sermon on the Mount has so many beautiful promises that God has given us. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so on. That's how Jesus begins the sermon. And then after that, it flows into, this is then how you can honor God because of those blessings. And he lists some things off. Be salt and light. Don't murder, obviously, but that includes anger. Don't commit adultery, obviously, but that includes lust for someone you're not married to. Give to the needy. Love your neighbor and your enemy. Pray. Focus on God. Don't worry. Don't look down on others. Keep asking, seeking, knocking. Trust in your Father's goodness, and so on. Wow. There's a reason that Christians, for how many years, have treasured the Sermon on the Mount. So many words of comfort and so many words of guidance for us. But after saying all of those words, Jesus then gives a couple of warnings about those words. And the first one, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. So watch out for those who lie about Jesus' words. Now, it can be difficult to find a false prophet, confirmands, just a heads up, because they come to you in sheep's clothing. Sometimes they come in the guise of godliness. Sometimes they come to you and they're very selfless people. Sometimes they'll say they have your best interest in mind, or that they preach a message that you know they know you're going to like, a happiness, freedom. God wants you to do this because it makes you happy. They might even share some scripture passages. So with all of that, how are you supposed to tell who's going to be a false prophet? Oh, Jesus helps us. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So on and so forth. You don't get good fruit from a bad tree. You get bad fruit from a bad tree. Now, what we're talking about here in this section is all of Jesus' words. So what is he talking about here? If you are someone who is going to teach some things or live a way of life according to, then what? They all have to be rooted in what? The words of Jesus. That's how you tell good fruit, bad fruit. Not just Jesus' words in the Gospels either. He's also talking about the Old Testament, where he said, "This is the scriptures, these are the scriptures that testify about me." He also talks about the New Testament. The apostles were the ones who were inspired, and the Holy Spirit guided them in all truth. So all of Scripture together, is a passage taken out of context, or is it really in line with what Jesus says? That's how you tell good fruit from bad fruit. Watch out for false prophets, Jesus says. Watch out for those who lie about my words. Keep your foundation safe and stay built on the words of Jesus. But it's not just lies that come inward from or out from outward here that have to do with Jesus' words. It's also lies that sadly we can sometimes perpetuate in here that we have to be careful of. And that's his next warning. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. It doesn't really matter what we do outwardly. We can do some of the greatest miracles and yet still be branded by Jesus on that last day as an evildoer. Instead, what matters is those who do the will of his Father in heaven. Now maybe you're thinking to yourself, wait a second, in Jesus' name these people prophesied and they did all these miracles and they even cast out demons in his name? But what Jesus reveals about his will, his Father's will, comes elsewhere in Scripture too. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. The one who does the will of the Father in heaven is the one who believes in his Son for salvation. And did you notice what these people will say on the last day? Lord, in your name I did this, and I did this, and I did this. They obviously didn't take Jesus' words to heart. They had perpetuated the lies with inside, and those obstacles made them hear Jesus but not really listen. And that's a scary thought for us too, right? As we're thinking of the rest of our lives and confirmands for you too, someone can go their whole lives thinking, yeah, I'm a Christian, God and I are in a good relationship, we're all solid, and someday yet still be branded as an evildoer. Have Jesus say to them, I never knew you. That kind of frightens us a little bit. It makes us think of our lives because we can't see our faith. So how many times do we point to things like, I care for this person and this person. I go to church regularly. I hear God's word a lot. I read the Bible at home. I give to church my offerings as God tells me to do. I even share God's word with other people. I encourage them with it. But someday Jesus says that he might say to me, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Have I actually built my house on sand? If so, the consequences are dire. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. It's not about just hearing the words of Jesus. It's about taking them to heart and putting them into practice. So then, think again about all those words that Jesus has shared, even just in the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to them again. Be salt and light. Don't be angry. Don't lust for someone who you're not married to. Give to the needy. Love your neighbor and your enemy. Pray to God. Focus on God. Don't worry. Don't look down on others. Keep asking, seeking, knocking. Trust in your Father's goodness. It's not just about hearing that and thinking, yeah, that sounds really good. It's about applying them to yourselves. And when you do that, how do you feel? How do you do with all that? Do you feel like you always do those things? If you do, you are as deluded as those people who are going to give Jesus an empty Lord, Lord on the last day. Now I'm guessing you're not feeling too comfortable. I'm guessing there's some worry and some despair welling up inside of you. And if not, there should be. Should have despair, because none of us always do these things. But that despair is a good thing. Yes, you heard that correctly. Let me say it again. That despair is a good thing. That's Jesus, through his words, revealing to us the lost, sinful creatures that we are. That's Jesus tearing down any obstacle that we have in our hearts that prevent us from actually listening to the words. That's Jesus attacking the number one thing that threatens our foundation, our self-righteousness. That despair that is created is proof that Jesus' words are powerful and authoritative. They speak to your heart. That's just what they do. They shake you to your core. As I was preparing the sermon, I thought to myself this week, am I a false prophet? If I stand before Jesus someday, am I going to say, Lord, Lord, I did this for you, and I did this, and this, and this, and yet am I going to hear, I never knew you? Started questioning if I was even a Christian, if I was just really good at acting like one. That despair hurt. What an empty feeling. And therefore, what a wonderful thing Jesus did for me through his words. See, his words aren't just there to guide us. They're not just there to keep us on the right path, make sure we're good trees with good fruit. No, these words, these warnings are a precursor because he wants to show us what he's really truly given us. These words are meant to create that despair, shatter what is inside of there, so that someday we don't stand beside or in front of Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, this is what I did for you, but Lord, Lord, look at what you did for me. We can stand before Jesus someday, and we can know that my arrogance, my pride, my self-righteousness, that sandy foundation was replaced with the solid bedrock of Him. I am built on Him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. I am built on Him, His righteousness, His life in place of mine, His perfection. We are built on Him. Will your house stand someday? Yes, because you have a solid foundation that is the most solid it could possibly be. It's perfect. We are built on Him, confirmands, and Jesus wants to keep it that way. That's why He's given us these words. These words, they shatter everything that gets in the way. They comfort us with the promise of grace and forgiveness that we need to hear, and they help guide us as we want to honor Him, as you just confessed a little while ago. And we're not the only ones that recognize the power and authority of what Jesus' words are able to do. Take a listen. At the end of the whole Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at His teaching, because He taught as one who had authority, and not as their teachers of the law. See, His disciples and followers back then recognized the power and authority of Jesus' words too, just like you have today, and just as you have confessed today, so did they. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. So then build on bedrock or sand? It's an easy answer. You are built on rock. Is your house going to stand someday? When that judgment comes on the day you die or the last day, whichever comes first, will you stand? Yes. Because you will stay built on Jesus' words. Amen. May God bless you with the peace and comfort that comes from Jesus as your foundation, brothers and sisters, and especially you, confirmands. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the confirmands to come forward and line up as we will continue with the rite of confirmation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus said to His disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." In obedience to the Lord's command, you have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have been taught the precious truths of the Christian faith as confessed by the Evangelical Lutheran Church. You know what God has given you by His grace and what He expects of you as His dear child. You now have the privilege of receiving the Lord's body and blood in the sacrament of Holy Communion. You are here to make a public profession of your Christian faith. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, said, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Therefore, lift up your hearts to the God of all grace and joyfully answer the following questions. Do you this day in the presence of God in this congregation acknowledge that in baptism God gave you forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation? If so, say, I do. Do you reject the devil with all of his lies and empty promises? If so, say, I do. Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? His only Son, our Lord. Yeah. Do you believe all the books of the Bible to be the inspired word of God? If so, say, I do. Do you believe that the teaching of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, as you have learned to know it from Luther's small catechism, is faithful and true to the word of God? If so, say, I do. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this teaching and to endure all things, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, say, I do, and I ask God to help me. Do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the teachings of God's Word, to be faithful in the use of the Word and sacrament, and in faith and action remain true to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as long as you live? If so, say, I do, and I ask God to help me. Brothers and sisters of St. Mark's, since it is God alone who enables us both to will and to do His good pleasure, it is right for us, dear friends, to call on Him for these confirmants, that He would graciously complete the work which He has begun in them. Let us therefore bow our heads and pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise You for Your great goodness in bringing these sons and daughters of Yours to the knowledge of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and in giving them both hearts to believe and mouths to confess His saving name. Enable them to bring forth the fruits of faith and to continue steadfast and victorious until the day comes when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We join together in the prayer our Lord taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are Yours, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what we as a congregation have here asked our Heavenly Father to confer on all of you, we now ask Him to give to you each individually. Hannah Burke. Hannah, your confirmation passage is a great one for the difficulties in life and when things seem dark and troublesome. So very fitting for these days now, but also a great reminder for the rest of your life. Your confirmation passage: I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. Blessings. Elizabeth Henley, your confirmation passage is very fitting for today and what we've been talking about Jesus' teachings and the truth that is in there. Good reminder for you as well. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:31 and 32. Blessings. Emma Jones. Your Bible passage also very fitting for today, where it's not just hearing God's word, but also putting it into practice. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Luke 11:28. Blessings, Emma. Yeah. Jacob Klinker. Your Bible passage is a great reminder of, no matter what happens, if you go astray, the fact that God, as our shepherd, protects us and is always with us and cares for us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. Psalm 23, 1. Blessings, Jacob. Thank you. Braden Seal. Good reminder as well for these times and always for the rest of your life about the fact that God is there for you and how he feels about you. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 7. Blessings. Jaden Stewart, you chose a Bible passage and I helped pick it. And I think it's a good one for you so that you recognize and always remember that the Lord is always with you as well and what he can do for you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. Blessings. Julia Yates. Julia, in catechism class, you always had really good, concise answers that were always straight to the point, and it was perfect. And your confirmation passage is no different. Reminder for you. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Blessings, Julia. Your church now invites you to receive the sacrament of the Lord's body and blood. Accept this invitation with deep reverence and holy joy. Regard your communion at the Lord's table as a precious privilege given you by God through his church. Receive the sacrament thankfully and often. The Almighty and most merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and keep you. You may return to your seats. We continue by celebrating the sacrament there on page 6. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. By the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he empowered his church to be witnesses of Christ to the ends of the earth. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you. The distribution of the sacrament, just a reminder of how that is happening now. If you are going to commune, please exit the pew on the outside, no matter which side you're on, the outside, and on this side will have to go all the way kind of around down that way, and then kind of hairpin back to the middle is where you're going to return to your pews. This side, again, outside, and then return via the middle. Thank you.
Thank you. take and drink. The blood of the Lord forgives us our sins.
The true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We pray. O God, the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in his body and blood. We also pray that you will bless and guide the new confirmands by your Holy Spirit, so that they and all of us may remain in you and your word until life everlasting. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is printed for you there. Good morning again. It's a pleasure worshiping God with you, and it was a pleasure to see God's word at work in the minds and hearts of the confirmands. Congratulations once again. 2020 St. Mark's Confirmands. A few announcements for everybody. First of all, a big welcome to all of our visitors here today. If you get a chance, if you haven't yet, sign in on our online connection card. That way we can connect with you, especially in these times when it's difficult to do that or difficult to connect with other people in general. It'd be good to have a connection. So please fill that out. You can find that on our website. Let's see, gift cards for our new teacher, Hannah Stegman. You can put those in, there's a basket in the lobby there. We're just, you know, it's asking something practical, so this is a really good thing for our called workers. It really helps us out, it helps the transition as you come to a new place, and it's a good tradition that St. Mark's has had. So please find that in the lobby if you could give that for Hannah, who will be here next month in July. Speaking of July, July 20th to 24th, we will be having VBS, but online. They've been calling it the Staycation Bible School. Well, you can call that if you want. But regardless, we won't be able to have on-site VBS this year, but we will have it online, materials and videos available to you and parents at home. Speaking of parents, happy Father's Day to all you fathers. God is good. What a big blessing that he has given us, that we get to show the same love as our Father in heaven has shown for us. May God continue to bless your celebrations and all of that. And for the fathers who are here for the confirmands, wow, what a great Father's Day gift, right? Celebrate the Lord's Supper together, hear God's word, see your confirmand be confirmed. Really neat blessing. So blessings to all you fathers out there. A few reminders for you as you exit the church today. We will usher you out, but we'll begin in the back going down this way. If you could please, if you want to visit, please do so outside. Take your bulletins with you. Take them home. If you don't want to, you can put them in the recycling bins on your way out. Just a reminder, there's also the offering plates there too, if you're able to do that, as well as online you can give your offerings too. So thank you very much for all of that. Once again, congratulations, confirmands. You can stick around for pictures if you'd like. May God continue to bless all of you in his word and recognize the foundation that Christ is for us. Please stick around outside to greet one another.